Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats. We'll pick up those conversations at the close of the service. Just thank you. Just a couple of announcements before we move in to the other parts. One is that the Alberta Baptist Association, our association of churches, is having a conference this coming Friday night and all day Saturday, and it's taking place here in Red Deer down at Legacy Place, Home Church's old building. And so it's like a family gathering. We're going to have people from different churches all over the association there. They brought in a speaker from Manitoba, who I've really appreciated because this couple are the ones that authored and started the mentoring program that I've been through, am going through. It's been really, really helpful. So I'd really encourage you to come out and check it out. You do have to register online ahead of time, so please check out that website. Secondly, Jeff Gowdy's coming here to speak this coming Sunday, so this coming weekend he will be here. I know lots of you appreciate the Gowdy's ministry, and so it's been a while since he's been here. We're looking forward to having him back, so make sure you come back next Sunday. Lastly, for now, May 19th, we have finally set a date to have the baptisms. And so James Arthur and Jessica Bunny are going to be baptized, which is likely going to be in the river. And it's going to be on May the 19th, so please keep that in mind and make sure that you're here that Sunday so that we can support our brother and sister as they take a step of obedience. And if you haven't taken that step of obedience, let's talk. Now, let's pray. Lord, we're here because we love you. Loving means following you. And following means learning from you and taking your lead and focusing on the things that you say and do that we might look more like Jesus, act more like Jesus, become more like Jesus. So Lord, would you make sure that those things happen this morning? Would you take us further in a journey of walking with Jesus that you may be glorified, that we would, like Jesus, empty ourselves, that we may be filled with you, that we may humble ourselves like Jesus and take up the cross, that we may submit ourselves to your will and to your word, that you may have your way in the world, because it will work out better if we do. And Lord, we sure want life to work out better, and we want it to be the better that you define. So Lord, we're here in a sense to lay down some of our own agendas, all of our own agendas, that we may once again find yours, because it is in you that we find life. We have so often gone our own ways, and what we find as we go our own way is death, it's destruction, it's things not working out the way that they should because we haven't put you first. So would you guide us to love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves, and one another as you commanded. And may it be out of obedience, may it be in faith, knowing that whatever we lay down, you will return over and over again with reward and presence and life, because you are faithful and you can be trusted. So Lord, would you make us people who trust you? Lord, make us people who trust you. And I pray that this morning there would even be times where something gets identified. It's a place where we don't trust you. We don't really think you're good in this particular circumstance or area, and we withhold. Lord, I pray that those things would come down today. Lord, where we've looked elsewhere, where we've been distracted, Lord, would you draw us back to your purposes and your will, and may we find life there, no matter the cost. Lord, would you open us to understand your word, and would you open us to embrace your word? Lord, may we be people who say yes, even before we fully understand, because we are to be servants. And so, Lord, once again, we offer you our yes. Lord, guide us in this time. May it be about you and about pleasing you and learning to love you with everything that we have and every opportunity that you have given us, including the opportunity that is in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, Amen. Would you grab your final authority, please, and go to John 21. We've come to the end of John. We've been in John for, I think, about a year and a half with, you know, the odd break here or there. It's been quite a journey. I've come to love this book. It was a book that was in many ways foreign to me. A vision of Jesus that I maybe didn't understand as much or didn't relate to as easily as, you know, the pictures of Jesus that we see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's been wonderful. It's been challenging. It's been a gift. We're going to start at verse 18. We're going to cover some verses we read last week and then finish off the book itself. So John 21, starting at verse 18. Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he's just asked Peter three times, look after the people I care about. And his words for that are, tend my sheep, shepherd my flock, feed my lambs. And right after that, he has some really hard news for Peter. He says, truly, truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to put on your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will put your belt on you and bring you where you do not want to go. And then John, the author, adds a little note clarifying what exactly Jesus meant by this. He says, now he, Jesus, said this, indicating what kind of death, by what kind of death he, Peter, would glorify God, meaning crucifixion. And when Jesus had said this, he said to Peter, follow me. Follow me, Peter, knowing you will go all the way to a cross. Follow me. That's a hard pill to swallow, and watch what Peter does next. Because you and I are still doing this. Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. The one who had leaned back on Jesus' chest at the supper table and said, Lord, who's the one who's betraying you? So this is the beloved disciple. Have you ever noticed that your kids sometimes think the other one is the favorite? No one noticed this at all? This is just a phenomenon in my family? Okay. And you notice that when you give one a hard word, the first thing that they do is point at the other one? Oh, maybe you can relate to this. Okay. So Peter turned and saw the one he thinks is the favorite disciple. And he says, Lord Jesus, what about this guy? What about this man? And Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what's that to you? Follow me. Now, this is the disciple who's testifying about these things and who wrote these things down, and we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they were written in detail, I expect that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God as we come to the end of this marvelous book. I want to offer what won't exactly be a side note, but I'll tie it in near the end as well in a different way. But I want to talk for just a moment about how that last verse is sometimes used in our culture. I believe this came up actually in conversation with some Mormons who came knocking on my door maybe a year ago or so. And this is a verse that they point out, and they say that Jesus did other things too, and we actually have written accounts of what he did, because he came to North America, and he or the angel spoke to Joseph Smith. They wrote these things down, and you get plates of gold and all of this stuff. And Jesus did other things, and your book points that out, so you should be reading the Book of Mormon. Friends, this is a pretty easy thing to respond to, okay? Jesus will never contradict himself, right? So if the Book of Mormon contradicts this, what are we going to do with the Book of Mormon? Sorry, it doesn't make the cut. Yes, Jesus did say and do other things, but we go back to this to find out if they're true, Okay? And so our Mormon friends, and I will not call them brothers and sisters because they don't actually share our faith. One very easy example of that is they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, so they don't actually believe in a Trinity. Okay? So they don't even pass sort of the test of the Nicene Creed, which is the sort of standard test of whether or not you're an Orthodox Christian. Okay? That blatantly contradicts what's in this book. So if their book contradicts this book and Jesus won't contradict himself, then we're saying, nope, doesn't pass the test. Okay? That's why I now regularly will tell you, let's pick up our final authority, because this is the final authority. Jesus does continue to speak and do other things, but we go back to our final authority to test them. Okay? We will come back to this at the end of the message. For now, what I want to go back to is the interaction again between Jesus and Peter. Have you ever noticed that when you know you should be doing something, or maybe even Jesus tells you to do something, suddenly the distractions come? Am I the only one who experiences this in quiet times with Jesus, where suddenly I just remembered I have to go do this? Or particularly if you have hard work to do, your brain is now looking for escapes. How can I avoid doing this kind of hard work? Has anyone ever found themselves on YouTube and you're just scrolling a little bit further because these things are so enticing? As everything I've ever searched for is still here and it's back in this algorithm that is just perfectly attuned to my need for distraction in this moment. Have you experienced this, or is this just me? Oh, it's just me, okay. I will preach to myself, and if there's anything here today that blesses you, well, you can try and take that. Distractions come. Distractions come particularly when there are hard words, particularly when there is hard work. Distractions come during sermons. Distractions come during sermons in the form of, oh man, I hope so-and-so is listening to this. Has anyone experienced that? Or is that just me? I hope so-and-so is listening to this, or I think, oh, that's too convicting, so I'm just going to let that one go. Or even the question of why is Jesus dealing with me? See, this is what Peter says, right? Why is Jesus dealing with me in a way that he doesn't seem to be dealing with those other people? What the heck? We should expect that distractions of a variety of sorts are going to come, particularly when God is leading us to do things that are challenging, particularly when he speaks hard words to us. See, we are no different than Peter, are we? At least I'm seeing quite a bit of myself in my Peter. It's not just my kids that I see in Peter as they get reprimanded and then blame the other person or try to deflect to the other person. It's me too. Distractions come when the work is hard. Okay? And Jesus gave Peter a hard word. When distractions come, reminders are needed. And Jesus' message to Peter is a little bit of MYOB. What is MYOB? Mind your own business. All right? Mind your own business. Stay focused, Peter. Don't get distracted, Peter, by what's going on between me and the other person. Let's stay focused on what I have shared with you, Peter. I know it's going to be hard. Don't lose your focus. Don't get distracted. We need those reminders. And Jesus is gentle and gracious, but also sometimes firm in the reminders. So what reminders have come your way lately? Babies wouldn't be distracting at all in a service, would they? What reminders have come your way lately? And what distractions have come your way lately? Is God pointing something out to you that you have been highly motivated to leave to the side? Let's stay focused, even when it's hard. And you know, Jesus gives him a reminder. He says the second time to Peter, follow me. He gives him that reminder. And following him is that there's the two parts, right? And we talked about this last week, that There's the abide part, where we draw near to Jesus. We find ways of developing a friendship and an intimacy, a listening, a seeking him in scripture, a worshiping, an interactive relationship with Jesus because he invites us into that, right? We abide, and we abide precisely so that we can do the hard work that God asks us to do. He says, remain in me. That's abiding. Abide in me, I will abide in you. But he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You're not going to accomplish the follow me, the hard work that I sometimes have for you to do, if you have not first drawn life from me. Find strength in me. It won't be there. So we abide precisely so that we can find the strength, sometimes even the will, to go and do some of the hard things that Jesus asks us to do. But then, as we talked about last week, there is a flip side of it too, that if we want that abiding life, we have to be obedient and do the hard work that we have been asked to do. Because Jesus also says that if you are my friends, if you obey what I command. See, it's not friendship first and then obedience, and it's not obedience first and then it's friendship. It's both and at all times. We need the abiding to be obedient, and we need the obedience for the sake of the abiding. Make sense? It's a paradox. We need both. Please don't emphasize one over the other. If we do, we will only get part of Jesus. And we want all of him, and we need all of him, especially when there's a hard word, right? Because the follow me is hard at times. There's life and joy and peace and abundance and all of that stuff. And there's obedience. And there's representing Jesus in places and situations where it's suddenly not so easy. And we need his presence for it. And we need the strength that comes from him. So let's stay focused. Take the reminders that are needed for the sake of the hard work. Now, Jesus said and did more than was written in this book. What's written here is not all that Jesus said or did. What's written here is not all that Jesus continues to say and continues to do, because he continues to speak and he continues to work. Neither one of those have finished. This is never meant, has never been meant to be the exhaustive list of everything God could or would ever say, or could or would ever do. That's not the purpose of this book. Okay? Let me illustrate this. What's this? Measuring tape. Does it contain every inch or centimeter in this world? No, but it is the means that we use to test other claims to inches and centimeters. That's what this is. This is the measuring stick, the tape measure by which we use to measure every other truth claim in the world, every other so-called act of God, every other so-called word of God, because God continues to speak and God continues to act, but we filter it through this. That is the purpose, one of the purposes of this. It is to be it's often called a canon in more academic circles. A canon it's not spelled the same way that what you think of as a cannon, you know, firing off a ship or something, firing a cannonball. It's a different word. I think one of them has three N's, one of them only has two. I always get them confused. But anyway, sounds the same, different word. Canon is another word for a measuring stick. Okay? It's the way that we measure and test every other word. Okay? God continues to speak, he continues to act, but we use this as our measuring stick. God will never contradict himself. That's why we use scripture. But we do need to expect him to continue speaking and continue to work. And we need to be engaged with the ways that he continues to speak and continues to work. This is part of our call as people who follow Jesus, as we follow a Jesus who spoke and who continues to speak. Now, what I want to do for a moment is let you pause and listen to the Lord. Okay, so let's pause. Would you close your eyes with me? We've covered distraction. And maybe there's a distraction that the Lord wants to identify for you. We've covered God's reminders. Maybe there's a reminder that he's been giving you. We've covered listening to the ways that he continues to speak. And maybe there's something that he wants to say to you now. Would you give him a moment and invite him to do that? Okay. We're going to apply this now to something specific. You really don't have to keep her mouth. We know she's alive, and it's good. We're going to apply this message to something specific, and then we're going to tie it all together at the end. We're going to apply this message to what we shared with you a couple of months ago about the whistle, to remind you, and for those who weren't here, we had a prophetic word shared with our community that went like this. Two men were sitting in a field, and one of them said to the other, "Do you hear that whistle?" The other person said, "No, I don't hear a whistle." And the first guy says, "I hear a whistle," and they keep talking. And then all of a sudden he says to him again, "I'm still hearing this whistle. Do you hear this whistle?" And the other guy says, "No, I don't hear a whistle." And they both walk away from the conversation confused. The word was given to us saying, we hear that there's something that's going wrong in the way that the world and the church handled COVID. And some people hear it, and some people don't. Part of the message is that if we don't learn to recognize how we went wrong in COVID, where we went wrong in COVID, and why we went wrong in COVID, we're actually in trouble, not just because we messed up, but because of what will come later. And that's part of actually a larger word. And some, maybe most, aren't hearing it. But you can learn to hear it. So that's the word that comes. Now let's apply the message we just had to this. Distractions come, especially when words are hard. How many, and this is a rhetorical question, please don't put up your hands, how many wanted to forget or avoid this word? Distractions come, particularly when words are hard, where there's hard work to do. We all do it. It's not a condemnation. Distractions come. Reminders are needed because we sometimes avoid doing hard work. A little clarification on the MYOB. In interacting with some people, it's sometimes been said, you're actually doing what Peter does in this situation, and you're not minding your own business. Essentially, this is for you, it's not for us. And so we need to offer a clarification around that. This wasn't a personal word to Ben or to Joel, about Ben or just Joel, that the context of the word was a corporate word to a church, to the church leadership, about the church, confirmed among the church leadership. So it was never a personal thing, so it's not an MYOB. This is our B. This is our business. Something God directed to a church, not to individuals. Reminders are needed because following is hard. And if Jesus is still speaking, then focusing on what he is saying is focusing on Jesus. So let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And if that author and perfecter of our faith is addressing us, the most loving and obedient thing that we could do to continue to foster that relationship and honor the one that we serve is to respond, to understand and take whatever steps are necessary to understand and then respond properly to what has been said to us. This is an act of love, actually. It is a way of drawing near. And there are parts of follow me, as Jesus says to Peter, that can be very difficult. He gives Peter a very difficult word and then says, follow me. And he gives reminders about it. So this is, to talk about the whistle is to say, we are still focusing on Jesus. Jesus said and did more than was written. It is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what we do anytime someone claims to be speaking from Jesus is we measure it against the word. The interesting thing about this one in particular is that actually you have and we have the tools needed to interpret this world. It's a parable. And Jesus spoke in parables. And you've been reading those parables for a very long time. You, without even realizing it, probably, you have more of what's needed to interpret this word than you think. And collectively, we do, though it might be overwhelming to any one individual. But that's why it was given to a community, that we might do it together, to follow him together. And some people don't know how to do that. And that's okay. We are new at this. And at the same time, the gifts that are needed are in this room, both the people and the gifts that God gives. So next Sunday at 12:30, after the service, there is another opportunity to interact with this. Everything from, I don't understand, help me out, to I have this question, to whatever form of interaction that you need to have, that you might take your next step of obediently following the one who is speaking, that we might give him the proper response. And we want to make another opportunity for those who want to learn to have ears to hear. You can come and say, I'm not hearing it. I will let you know that, as I shared right from the very beginning, a posture of humility is needed to hear this. Because this isn't, when we talk about hearing the whistle, we're not talking about hearing God. We're not talking about hearing God at all. The whistle is not hearing God's voice. But if you don't understand that, then you're going to need to come and get some clarification on that. So this isn't about a test of how much you can hear God. It's actually about something else. Like I said, it's actually about where we went wrong in COVID. So come next week. Engage. Reach out. I know it's a hard word. Jesus sometimes gives hard words. But he will also give what is needed to fulfill our end of the hard word. Okay? And that's why we're returning now to Peter. Let me ask you a question about Peter. In this passage that we have just covered, as Jesus describes in detail the fact that Peter will go to his death, a horrible death, one of the worst possible deaths, he will go to his death for Jesus because he follows Jesus and because Jesus tells him to. It's a hard, hard follow me. But let me ask you this question. Do you truly believe in God's goodness? Do you truly believe that the word that Jesus gives Peter there at the end was a good word? I'm going to let you sit with that for a moment. Is what Jesus told Peter a good word? I believe it's a good word. It's a hard word, but hard words can be good words because it says in verse 19 that this is the death that Peter would experience that would glorify God. This is how Peter, it says in verse 19, would glorify God. And what Jesus gives is a hard word that Peter will have to live day after day after day. And in doing so, Peter will experience and live out the good opportunities and the blessing that Jesus has given him to live into the calling that he has extended to him. And it is a gift. We might have trouble coming to see it from that perspective, but I challenge you that that is the perspective that God had. That is the perspective that Jesus had when he said, "Don't you dare focus on the calling I have for John. You follow me, and here is my gift to you." Will we learn to see a life of obedience and sacrifice as a gift from God, because it is the opportunity that he has given to us to glorify him? I can tell you that those who have heard the whistle, it's a hard word, and it's a gift. And it might take some work to come to that perspective, but for those who are hearing it, it's a gift. Lord, I think of that third day worship song that says, "This is my offering. This is my offering to you, God. I will give you my life because it's all I have to give, because you gave your life for me." And Lord, I thank you and I bless you that you would call us to the same life of Jesus, which means laying everything down and taking up what you took up, a cross, that you might be glorified. Lord, would you make us people who will actually seek to make God look good at whatever the cost to ourselves, because we are not important and you are. Lord, would you give us the perspective to be able to see sacrifice, to be able to see cost that we pay from your perspective as an offering of beauty, as an offering of worship that you see as something special and beautiful, because it's the only thing that we have to give, because we will do it at a cost to ourselves, because you mean more. Would you help us to see it from your point of view? And would you make us people who will love you at a cost to ourselves, because we don't consider ourselves anything special, because this life isn't a life that is our story. It's we have the privilege of entering into your story. And it's a story where you are to be praised and glorified and honored and respected and worshiped above everything else, including ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would guide us in letting go of selfish ambition, where life is about what I can get out of it and getting ahead, particularly getting ahead of others, but then where you come to be the one who serves that goal. Lord, forgive us for the times where we have thought that you serve the goal of propping up our ambitions, even the ones that we have said are for you. Lord, may you make us people who hold these lives and hold our goals and our hopes and our dreams for ourselves with open hands, and we offer you even our hopes. We offer you even our dreams and say, "Lord, if you've got a different plan, I want yours." Lord, would you make us people who would live the life of faithfulness like Peter lived to the very end? And would you make us people who see Jesus as worth it, who see any sacrifice that we can give you as a gift? In Jesus' precious name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to close the service in a different way. If you're comfortable and willing to do this, I'd even encourage you, open your hands and offer them. What we are going to do is sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I am only going to start the first word, and then I'm going to mute myself, and we are going to offer this a cappella doxology, which means praise, our offering of praise to God. And we hold our hands open saying, we offer you our lives. Okay? Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace and his presence and his strength and his help to follow at any cost. Amen. Thanks for being here, friends. You could use your help refreshing the washrooms and putting the chairs away. You might need to go collect your kids as well. Thanks.